Welcome to Bearing Light, a podcast of the Georgia Bulletin, news source of the Catholic Archdiocese of Atlanta. I'm Nicole Golden. A new year and a new legislative session is underway, and joining Andrew Nelson and me for this episode is Jana Hoffacker, newly named director of the Georgia Catholic Conference. Nice to have you here, Jana, to talk about your role and that of the conference. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
We're excited. Yeah,
glad to have you here. Now, I've been at the Archdiocese and the Georgia Bulletin a long time, and you have equally been here for a long time, pretty much.
Yep.
One thing I know a little bit about you, so I'm excited in this conversation to learn a little bit more about you. But one of the things that I want to applaud you for was my recollection was that you helped create a Stations of the Cross kind of meditation program. Is that right? Through the High Museum.
Yes.
Like 2020. And I thought that I just want to let you know that's been in my mind.
Right before COVID shut the museum down.
Exactly.
We launched it.
Yes. But it was beautiful. Beautiful. So I just want to applaud you for your creativity.
Thank you.
I remember that even though it was many, many years ago.
Yeah, I worked with Father Desmond Drummer on that.
Yeah, I remember that. And unfortunately, like you said, the COVID kind of threw
a wrench in all of
yes, exactly.
Right, but then some people kind of did their own virtual, because you could look at the images online.
Yeah.
And so people, I know that somebody like hosted a Zoom and they did a whole virtual version of it.
Yeah.
So I think it still ended up being a useful resource to people, even if it didn't push them into the museum
right.
in the way that we had intended it to.
Exactly. So you're super creative, and I think you're going to bring that, I presume you'll also bring that into your new role. So congratulations on
Thank
that
you.
Role. That's awesome. That's awesome.
Tell us about the years leading up to your new function here, your new role. What were your experiences here with the church, and your little bit of your background?
Well, I mean, I've lived in Atlanta for 30 years now. This summer will be 30 years, so it's a long time. So I've gone to school here. I went to Georgia State for undergrad and grad school. I studied history, and then I studied theology at Loyola Chicago. And got a master's there. And then I came back I came back in December of 2012. And then that following May, I started working for the Archdiocese. So that's how long I've been with the Archdiocese.
A long, long time.
A long time. And I started out in priest personnel, as you do, and was there for a few years, and then ended up in the Office of Life, Dignity, and Justice with Kat Doyle in Justice and Peace Ministry specifically, kind of worked my way up in there. And then a couple years ago, we established the Restorative Justice Ministry to cover prison ministry, as well as a lot of the kind of policy stuff that I'm doing now, but specifically those things that were on things like death penalty abolition and other kind of criminal legal reform spaces, but coming at it with this broader umbrella of restorative justice and how do we make our criminal legal system more restorative and really more just than it is. And so that's, in a nutshell, the last 12 years.
Yeah.
The condensed version.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
I actually want, if you don't mind, want to break open that nutshell, if you will.
Yes.
Because I was doing a little deep dive on your LinkedIn profile, and you were saying, your interest in the church and sort of the politics or the social justice aspect of the church. I was reading that in Georgia State, you wrote it. Your thesis was Catholic and Community, American Political Culture and Catholic Social Thought, 1890 to 1960, which is like, wow, that's pretty intense. What an interesting topic. So I would just want to back up a little bit. So you say you grew up here, or you've been here for 30 years. Tell us a little bit about your faith life growing up, like at your home. How the faith was lived when you were growing up?
Well, I started out in Catholic school in St. Pete, though. I went to the Cathedral School in St. Pete.
That's Florida?
Yeah, yes. Uh-huh. As did my mother and all of her brothers and sisters. So it was sort of a long line of everybody going to the same school.
Yeah.
I think we're typical family in that it was our grandmother who was the driving force of everybody being, going to school, going to Catholic school, going to church, getting their sacraments, that kind of thing. So when we moved away from that, it didn't quite transfer. So in terms of like my faith life through kind of high school and college, there wasn't much there. And then it was through my historical studies, which were kind of going in a different direction at first, but I got interested in religious history as kind of a social phenomenon. And as it connects to political life and political culture, because there are all connections, those are all social realities of human beings, right? That kind of led me back in.
Oh, great.
So by grad school, I was going to Mass again.
Yeah.
And that was, I hadn't been confirmed yet. So I actually ended up getting confirmed in something like 2007, I think, at St. Thomas Aquinas in Alpharetta.
Oh, wow.
That was, and then that kind of continued, obviously, because then I ended up studying theology at a Catholic school. So it was sort of, I think it happens for a lot of kids, though, if, you know, if not to say that my parents didn't do what they were supposed to, but, you know, there's always that rebellious phase.
Of course.
And so you kind of go off and do your own thing and, you know, and then make the I made the decision to come back. So I think it I'm more of a revert, I guess.
That's fantastic.
Kind of covers what that might be.
That's fantastic. That's really
it's a great
real.
Path. You made
yeah,
it your
thank
own
you. Yes, exactly.
Way.
Yeah, so 07, so you would have been when did out of college, in college in 07?
Oh, I was well out of college.
Oh, okay.
I say well. I mean, I was about to start grad school. So okay. I was sort of, I call 2007 my gap year because of just the when I graduated versus when I started, it kind of turned into a year when it didn't need to be, but it just because of when start dates happened, it ended up being kind of a year in between.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. And so history, study of political thought or social movements, I guess, if that's right, kind of brought you around.
Yeah.
Nice. That's awesome. Good for you.
As Catholics, we have a call to be involved in civics. I don't even know if that's the right word, but can you talk about why it's important for Catholics to know about issues and how they intersect with our church's teachings?
Yeah. Well, the U.S. bishops, as the phrase that they used in Faithful Citizenship, is that Catholics have a moral obligation to participate in political life. And that's part of that Catholic social teaching theme, which class, if you remember, the seven themes of Catholic social teaching, participation in community life broadly, family, community, those kinds of social building blocks of our relationships are a human right, but also a human responsibility, because they, especially participation in political life, the way that laws are written, the way that laws are enforced, impact how people are seen, the respect for human dignity and human life. Because of that, we need to be involved in how those laws are written and enforced. It's not about kind of forcing a sort of theological, you know, bent to our laws. Mm-hmm. It's about having this ethical commitment because of our beliefs that we want to be able to instill that in the way that our social contract plays itself out. Mm-hmm. And so that's why we need to be educated. We need to be doing our homework before we go vote, but not just vote. We need to be then holding those legislators' feet to the fire. When they say they're going to do something, they need to do it. And we need to be the ones to hold them accountable, because ultimately they work for us as constituents.
So it's about working for the good of society.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think too often we look at it as like making, as you said, our beliefs injecting it into something, but it's really about the common good.
Right.
Overall.
It's not creating a theocracy. It is making sure that our democracy operates in a way that respects human dignity.
Mm, that's core.
Yes.
Right. So Georgia Catholic Conference, maybe some have not heard Georgia Catholic Conference. They don't know what is the function of the conference?
So most states, not every state has one, but most states have a Catholic conference. And what the task is of that conference is to represent the bishops of that state. So it's not just the Archdiocese. It's in our state in particular. It's the Archdiocese of Atlanta and the Diocese of Savannah. So to represent the bishops and the people, the Catholics of those dioceses in that state, at the legislature of that state, but also with congressional representatives, so the federal government as well. And really, you can get even down into sort of local, municipal, county, not as much at that level. It's mainly at the state level, but it's kind of any area of public policy, which can cover a whole slew of regulations and laws in any kind of given, framework. And so the Catholic Conference director, and if that Catholic Conference has staff, they also help to advise the bishops on public policy, but also to represent not just the interests, because I think that sounds a little too, I don't know what the word is, but it's to represent the values and those ethical commitments of the church in the legislature and with Congress.
Yeah, we forget sometimes the local aspects, the very nitty gritty local aspects that could come into play, but also the federal. You know, when you say Georgia Catholic Conference, I tend to think of Georgia law, Georgia state law, but it's much, much more involved than that.
Right. I mean, for instance, just on the federal level recently, the religious worker visas, that's been a federal issue, but it impacts us locally. And luckily, yesterday, there was a change in the regulation that, is going to allow us to keep our priests here, hopefully. And so that is a good change to happen. But that, again, is a nationwide issue, but that impacts us very local.
And we'll be diving into that a little bit in the Georgia Bulletin. But that kind of change doesn't happen without us having connections and raising our voices about it, about the importance of the religious worker visa program and the fix that needed to happen.
Right. And our bishops did speak with both of our state senators about the issue. And I know that the policy people at the USCCB worked very hard, both with Congress and the administration, to get this to happen.
I know it's early in the state's legislative session, but what are some issues that are maybe of broad interest right now to the bishops, if you could speak to that? And
The main one right now, I would say, is education and the school or student scholarship organization. I'm trying to remember what SSO stands for.
Yeah, yeah.
Making sure that cap is at a place where we can get help as many kids as possible get a Catholic education. Obviously, we have two bishops in the Archdiocese of Atlanta with a lot of Catholic education experience. So that tends to be a priority for them. I know that at the state capitol, the one word that everybody is saying is affordability. And that's across the board. But in terms of where our interests are, that affordability issue comes into play, especially in healthcare, with people's premiums going skyrocketing, really, and trying to make healthcare accessible to people and affordable to people. So that's going to be something that we're keeping an eye on. Affordable housing is another issue that we are experiencing. I mean, we were experiencing that, especially in the city of Atlanta, for a long time. But it's getting even worse than it was before, because wages just aren't keeping pace with the way that rents and mortgages are increasing. So that's another kind of affordability issue that we'll be looking at. And of course, we're also looking at the justice system and what kinds of things might be put into play there to reform that, to make it more just and more recognizing human dignity in the system.
How will you, as director, be keeping voters and citizens informed about the year and throughout the year?
Well, we have just created a list for people that they can subscribe to, and they'll have an option to receive a newsletter, which at the moment I think is going to come out every 2 weeks, so a bi-monthly newsletter. And then there is also a list for people to receive advocacy action alerts. So those would be during the session, probably more often, depending on, you know, the issue area. But that would be something where, you know, a bill was coming up to a committee hearing so that people would get an email saying, reach out to the people on this committee, especially if you're in their district, you know, to let them know that you support this bill, that sort of thing. Or if it's going to the floor for a vote, they would get an action alert. So it would be something where they can engage immediately upon receiving the email.
And of course, the conference has a website as well.
Yes, georgiacc.org.
And then we talked about the USCCB's, I think I referenced it as a call to be participating in these processes, but it's really an obligation. What are some resources for people who maybe want to be more informed, don't know how to go about it? Are there resources outside of our local offerings that could help people?
Well, I think if you haven't read Faithful Citizenship, Forming Consciences for Faithful Citizenship is the full title, and that's available for free on the USCCB website. I think that lays out the stakes as well as what we are obligated to do as U.S. Catholic citizens and voters, right? So I think reading that is the first step. I also think becoming better informed on social teaching is an incredibly important part of that, because even though it's not talking about very specific issues, it gives you the broad sort of umbrellas under which we find the issues that we support, but it gives you the foundation for why we're doing it. So it explains the why. Again, the USCCB website, but also the Justice and Peace Ministries website has information about the themes of Catholic social teaching and what that encompasses, because I think it's all much broader than people imagine it might be. It covers a lot of human life, basically all of human life, really. And so I think being informed on that. And then there are other, you know, if you're more interested in getting involved in particular issue areas, there's a whole slew of kind of advocacy organizations, whether you're interested in the environment or housing or community organizing or whatever else, a death penalty abolition. There's so many different things to get involved in. And that would take me the whole podcast to
break it down,
to list all of those. I think also looking around for advocacy training. The Georgia Interfaith Public Policy Center, and I just got added to the advisory board for that organization. They do advocacy trainings. So if somebody's never written to or gone to speak to or called their legislators before, it can be very intimidating thinking about how to do that, because you think, oh, this is like, you know, a senator. How am I supposed to talk to them? Well, the reality, like I said, they work for us. So it's nothing to be intimidated by, but going to one of these trainings can kind of give you the process and walk you through how to do it, what to say, you know, what kind of key points you need to get to, and kind of give you the tools to engage in that advocacy. So those trainings will be on their website. And so you can always go there and see when there's one that may be virtual or one that's close to you physically. And that's also something that I'd like to offer going forward with the Georgia Catholic Conference. Probably won't happen during the session because it's a little busy. So maybe starting in the summer into the fall of this year, I will hopefully start offering some advocacy trainings.
I think that would be great. I think, it, you know, going back to school for all of us mm-hmm. would be a good thing.
Yeah, I think we got our reading assignment with the what was the title of the
Forming Consciences for Faithful Citizenship.
Forming Consciences for Faithful Citizenship,
which originally came out in 2005, mm-hmm. And the U.S. bishops keep threatening to revise it.
It's a big undertaking.
Haven't done it yet, so they just keep writing a new letter at the beginning put it out.
That's great.
Revamp the intro.
Yeah.
So since we're talking about that, you know, we're all paying attention to headlines, and we know there's a little bit of, not a little bit, but there are situations with the enforcement of immigration issues mm-hmm. Going on. In broad strokes, can you talk about how you would encourage Catholics to think about this issue? Like, what would be a theme that folks who want to wrestle with this and try to understand it from a Catholic perspective. What any guidance?
Human dignity. The bishops, I mean, they recently, if anybody saw the letter that they produced out of their last meeting, let me back up a little bit. With church teaching, especially with social teaching, it's almost always a both and. So states have the right to have laws and to, you know, have borders and to enforce those borders. States also have the obligation to enforce those laws in a way that respects human dignity. And what we're seeing is human dignity being trampled underfoot, quite literally, in a lot of these cases. So when that happens, the people need to be calling their legislators. And I know that sounds like you're not doing very much, but I can promise you, if everybody actually did that, it does create change. We could see it happen. You need to be calling your legislators and telling them that you do not appreciate the way that people are being treated by these enforcement tactics. And that is completely in line with both what our own bishops in Georgia have said, what the bishops of the province, you know, feel, especially with regard to their reflection on De Lexite, Pope Leo's recent apostolic exhortation, I think, and then in line with what the USCCB has said. It is about respecting human dignity. And that isn't forfeited because someone is here without documents.
They don't give that up, right?
Right.
The human dignity. Human, their human dignity and stuff like that. We're recording this on the first week of the Georgia legislature. So new in your role, you went down to the State House.
Yes.
Can you tell us what your first day was like as part of in your new role, what it felt like to be there and kind of who you met with or talked with or...
Yeah. So I've done that a few times, just gone down there for advocacy days and different things like that. So at least I know my way around. It's not very big, so it's not hard to, it's kind of three levels and then you kind of circle each one. Somebody told me that it's a little, actually my predecessor, Frank Mulcahy, told me it was like the first day of school. And that is exactly what it was like. It felt like, you know, I could practically smell the new pencils. So a lot of the first day, it's not that nothing's happening, but like nothing's happening in terms of committees aren't meeting and there's no bills getting heard. They're getting introduced, but that's kind of very early on. So it's more that people are kind of back because we're talking about people from all over the state. So they may not have seen much of each other, you know, over the school holiday, the summer vacation. And so it's people kind of getting back into touch with each other. So there was just a lot of people kind of milling around, clumping, running into people that they knew. There were already a few advocacy groups there. Usually a lot of people, if they do an advocacy day, the group will kind of meet somewhere in the Capitol if they're lucky to get a room. And then they'll go on the south steps and have a little press conference, get a photo taken. They'll move off the steps. The next group will come out. They'll get on the steps. And that started at 9 o'clock in the morning and it had continued nonstop all day by the time I had left. So it's just one group after another. So they go, then they go to the ropes, they meet with their legislators. So you, when you try and pass by the doors to each chamber, it's just an absolute, just
like the connector at rush hour.
Exactly. It's the Grady curve.
Okay.
Trying to get around this, these groups of people that are waiting for their legislator to come out and talk to them.
Yeah.
So that was kind of the whole day. And I ran into, especially because of the advocacy stuff I've done before, I ran into some advocates from other groups, like the director of the Georgia Interfaith Public Policy Center. And I ran into Rabbi Lydia Medwin from the temple. So some faith leaders that I knew were there that I had worked with on, for instance, some death penalty issues and some other criminal legal reform stuff. So I ran into a few of them, some lobbyists. I was introduced to some new lobbyists whose names might take me longer to remember. I ran into a couple of reporters that I know. And so it was, you know, just a lot of kind of wading around, sort of swimming through the madness and seeing people and texting and being like, hey, are you here? Let's meet up. Where are you at in the building? So that's sort of.
And really, it all your work boils down to connections, right?
Right. Well, everything comes down to relationship in the end. I mean, and I say this because I teach in diaconate formation and I teach Catholic social teaching, and I tell them it's all about, everything is about relationships, whether it's between two people or between two nations, right? It is relationships. And so being able to build that up, because it's not just, we don't want what we're asking for to just be transactional. What we want to do is to present, you know, kind of a vision of the way that our state and our country can work that values human dignity, values the relationships between people, and values society. And so you can only do that if you're modeling that in the first place and not just saying, will you do this for us? And then you can do this for me. And, you know, kind of, you know, quid pro quo kind of stuff. So we're much more interested in approaching that from a relational kind of aspect.
So maybe that's, this is an editorial statement, some of the dysfunction of our system in this country is that it's become too transactional and not.
I think that's a big, it's a big part of it, because I think even somebody being called a lobbyist can be seen as, you know, kind of a four-letter word. And so I think because there's you know, people assume that there's just all of this kind of money being exchanged, all this money involved in favors and, you know, that kind of stuff. And my approach to it is going to be about trying to form relationships across aisles with anybody who is interested in achieving the same kind of ends that we are.
So really, and advocacy is in my mind, maybe a good word too.
Right. And it's not kind of the maybe the more apt word, the technical term, the thing that's on my badge that I wear to the Capitol says lobbyist, but it's less about, like I said before, it's not really about, it is about representing the interests of the church, but the interests of the church are rooted in human dignity and in human relationship.
Well, I think you've given us some assignments.
I have too. Reading assignment, and I'm really curious to know who is my Georgia legislature.
You can find that on the Georgia General Assembly website, but also on the Secretary of State website. If you look up the My Voter page for Georgia, it will tell you what districts you were in, who all of your legislators are at every level, as well as if there's a vote coming up, and there will be in Georgia, there's some votes coming up, especially if you live in the 14th district. There is a special election coming up, I think, in March, but it has sample ballots. You can see everything that's on it. You can know exactly what you need to vote on and how you're going to vote. You can do all your homework before you even go into the voting booth. And
it's
know
so
exactly.
important. I can't tell you how many times, and I hate to admit this, that I've looked at a sample ballot on the way to vote. And
right.
That's no kind of preparation.
Especially when there's ballot measures and the way that those can be worded are so confusing. So looking up ballot measures and what those actually are intended to do is incredibly important before you step into the gym or wherever it is that you're going to vote.
Right, the library.
Yeah.
Let me just put a plug in. I hope you come back. I think this has been a really fascinating conversation. And it's 40 days, right?
Yep.
The legislature is
April 2nd, Holy Thursday.
It's active for the next 40 days.
Signy die, as they call it.
So maybe at the 21st day, when we're halfway over, we can have you come back and give a look back where we started from and a look forward for the last
crossover day.
That'd be love to have you.
Check in, and then also, you know, here on this platform, but also in our print edition and online, because we want to keep Catholics engaged and informed. Thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you.
Appreciate it. And thanks for listening to this episode. Be sure to find more Catholic news at georgiabulletin.org. Find Bearing Light on the first and third Mondays on your favorite podcast platforms.